News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. 3:25 p.m. right now. Hey, I got to pause here a second and tell you, Otter Creek Farm. So like I said the other day, I was out there Friday? I think I was out there Friday. I love Otter Creek Farm. That place is so cool. Beautiful facilities. Well, I took some folks out there who had been hearing about it on Right Side Radio, and they said, man, we want to talk about having a corporate retreat out there. Well, it looks like they are. They're planning, after seeing the facility, seeing the grounds, recognizing the value of the place not just for wing shooting. Like, there was a group out there heading out. They just got their safety briefing, and they were heading out into the fields to do a pheasant hunt. But my folks were there to look at the facilities for the purpose of doing a corporate retreat. And I'm telling you, folks, this place is so good, you got to look it up. Right Side Radio talks about them all the time because they're so cool. Otter Creek Farm. The website is ottercreekfarmstead.com. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. You can go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and just click on their icon, and it'll take you right to them. But I'm just telling you, folks, you got to check them out. They're like an oasis in North Alabama, featured in Garden and Gun magazine. People come from all over the United States to go there. It's worth checking out. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is Otter Creek Farm. All right. So I'm not going to have time to branch into this segment a whole lot yet, but let me just intro it for you. All right. Number two on the triple dipper for the day, I'm calling it the politics of COVID. I could probably talk for the next 2 hours on this, but I'm not. So I had to go and be selective because here's my point. I recognize that politicians can't know everything about everything. All right. I was that way. I was a state senator for 8 years, and there were times when I had a niche, something I was very comfortable in. I knew the deal. Other times I had to educate myself. You do have to vote on what's there because you cannot abdicate your vote on a bill simply because it's not a topic that you grew up knowing something about, right? However, there's times when politicians get way outside their lane. Oh, really? Yeah. but here's the thing. The politics of COVID has gotten to the point of being irrational. Even to the extent that I just had to, during the break, I just went and thought, I got to check this out again and make sure this is real. I've got a storyline right here about how the Washington State Legislature, the Washington State Legislature is considering voting on a bill that would allow the governor to set up involuntary detention camps for people who are unvaccinated in the state of Washington. I thought, well, okay. I pulled down the article and I took it at face value. As I was highlighting it earlier, I thought, the article feels a little slanted. It's obviously a conservative writing, but I want to make sure I'm not reading some kind of extremist thing that's really not going to hold up. All right. So I went and checked, did a broader search online. I mean, I'm sitting right here looking at a Fox News affiliate in Washington State who not only ran with the article as well, but then put up the actual postings from the Washington State Board of Health about how they're holding a virtual public meeting on January 12th to discuss this bill and whether they should have it. I'm looking at a posting right now from the state of Washington's government job site, Washington Job Opportunities. Would you like to be an isolation and quarantine strike team consultant? They're hiring. All right, that's scary stuff. We get back from the break. I'm going to dive right into it. The politics of COVID. What are politicians doing? What's AOC doing running down to Florida, getting COVID while she's there, and then going back to New York and telling everybody to put a mask on? Politics of COVID. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, all that and more when we get back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, Copper, I got some clips up on the board for you there. If you would be working on those, clip 1 and 3, we're going to bring those up here in just a minute. And I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege right now because I just got a text from my sweet love. Charlene is spending time with our grandson, and I was just told that my grandboy is listening to the radio right now. So, Declan, your cap sure loves you. And I just want to make sure I say that on the air. All right, there we go. Hey, listen, moving back to this part of the Triple Dipper, I'm calling this the politics of COVID. It's real, y'all. There's actually a bill right now in Washington State. Now, understand, I've seen some stupid stuff dropped in as terms of bills that never are going to see the light of day. They're dropped in so some state legislator can say, well, I did that. I dropped it in, man. I couldn't get it passed, but I sure tried. No, they didn't really. They dropped it in to make a point or to, you know, get a media headline. The scary part about this one, though, is the Washington State Board of Health is the one that's looking at amending their state law to authorize the involuntary detainment of residents as young as 5 years old in what they call COVID-19 internment camps for failing to comply with the state's vaccine mandates. Wow. Wow. So by the way, if you follow me on Twitter, I just posted the story from Fox 26 News out in Henry County in Washington State. And I'm curious as to why this is not a national story. Of course, what I'm looking at right now is dated January 9th, so it just broke yesterday, so maybe it's coming up. But what I'm saying is this. They are literally right now debating. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This is the same state, though, by the way, where medical practitioners can lose their license for daring to prescribe things like ivermectin and vitamins and other treatments for people who are COVID patients. So all that, there's the politics of COVID. I'm gonna hang on to this one. I'm not going to throw this story out. I'm going to be hanging on to this one and checking it out over the next day or two and see if it rears its ugly head even more. All right, so here's some other stuff, though. Copper, you got clip one? You good to go on that one? I see the ready is up on the board. Okay, so here's the thing. The Biden administration, the politics of COVID have gotten really out of hand. So the Biden administration, according to Fox News here, a story that I pulled off dated 2 days ago, Biden administration guidance now prioritizes race in administering COVID drugs. You can't do that, folks. Remember the civil rights movement? Yeah, that was important. That's where we got away from Jim Crow, where we said that we are no longer going to be a society that sanctions racism. I can't make everybody, you know, not be a racist. I wish I could. Racism is for idiots. But the truth of the matter is this. As a society, we have moved away from systemic racism. Now, some would say otherwise. I know. Oh, it's still there. Oh, where's this? Oh, the 1619 Project. Oh, the wonder of it. No, listen. As a nation, we have enacted laws. We have changed our mores. We as a culture have moved past it. It is the outliers that make it happen, all right? Racism is for outliers in our society. And truthfully, for outcasts. But that being said, how do they get away with doing stuff like this? Guidance issued by the Biden administration states certain individuals may be considered high risk and more quickly qualify for monoclonal antibodies and other oral antivirals used to treat COVID-19 based on their race, or ethnicity. What? Well, it's because they consider there to be what they call, quote, longstanding systemic health and social inequities. Now, we do know, the statistics do show, apparently, that the Black Americans and Hispanic Americans have a higher level of COVID positives. And it's believed in part because those demographics have, for whatever reason, been more resistant to some of the remedies available to include even the vaccines. Now, I'm not a big fan of the vaccines myself, but I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But I will tell you that if the vaccines are reducing symptomology like they say they are, and a certain demographic is resisting that, then you might imagine the symptoms are harder in that demographic. But if they made a choice, you don't then triage them and give them more treatments than you would others. You work with the education process. You work with the provision and the availability process. You don't go, if two people show up at the hospital, both presenting for issues, and one arrived first, and that person was white, you don't say, I can't give it to you because I think a black person's coming in a few minutes. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We moved away from that. You treat them equally. First come, first serve, availability based on need. And so yet the Biden administration is moving towards prioritizing race. This is legit, y'all. I've got audio for it, but I don't think I'm going to have time for that. But let me do this. Let's talk about other things. You know, Ron DeSantis, by the way, some of y'all heard me talk about, wouldn't it be nice to have legislators who acted sort of in accordance with like what the Freedom Caucus in D.C. pursues. Those of you that are fans of Ron DeSantis need to understand that when he was in Congress, he was one of the founding members of the Freedom Caucus. Ah, kind of comes back around, don't it? Seeing leadership in Florida right now is amazing. Far and away more than the leadership we have in Alabama. But Ron DeSantis made one of those common sense pronouncements that I thought, wow, I don't think I'd ever verbalize that. That's huge. That's common sense. Let me do this. Copper clip one. Let's go ahead and play Ron DeSantis. Go ahead and play it.
Now think about it. Before COVID, did anyone go out and seek testing to determine if they were sick? It's usually you feel like you're sick and then you get tested to determine what you're what you maybe have come down with. And so this is kind of a new thing where they've been saying just go out and test all the time. And again, you're free to do it. But I think what the DOH guidance from Florida is saying is that is unlikely to yield very much clinical value for you. And it also creates a lot of second-order follow-up problems. It's essentially a lockdown by stealth in the sense of if you test positive but you're not sick or have symptoms, you may have to isolate. They don't even know. The test can't tell you if you're even infectious or not. And these PCR tests, you can test positive for weeks after you've been infected, months even in some cases. And so what happens is blanket testing of healthy people, it leads to some kids being not in school. It leads to people not being able to go to work and some doing some of these isolation, which is may not even be justified. And so I think those guidelines are very sensible. And again, it's not saying people can do what they want to do, but I can tell you to just do force healthy people like businesses to do that or whatever. We don't advise that at all. We think that's a mistake. We think people should live their lives. And then if they develop symptoms, you know, you can obviously get a test. And if you're at risk and the treatment would really change the course for you, we obviously want to see that treatment done.
That's Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida. Did you hear the opening? When did it become the thing that people who are not sick have to go get tested to find out if they are? It used to be, like he said, it was always a question of, I feel sick, therefore I will go get tested. So we are blanket testing well people, trying to find out if they're sick, but yet they're not presenting themselves as having been sick. They're presenting themselves as having been mandated to get tested. When did that become a thing? Now, I get what the Army's doing, sort of. You know, I said earlier when I did that whole segment on what are y'all doing to my Army, one of the things that the Army has said was if you present with symptoms of COVID, you have to begin a quarantine. Okay, it's still a little extreme, to be honest. Y'all, we're going to have to live with this. COVID is not going away. If you haven't heard yet, COVID is not going away. The vaccines apparently may reduce symptomology, but they do not reduce transmission capability. So at what point, y'all? I mean, at what point? At what point are we going to say as a society, stop the madness? Stop it. Internment camps, strike teams. We're looking at, you can't get on an airplane. The Army, if you have the sniffles, you can't go do your PT test. Stop it. Get back to life. Gotta do it. Meanwhile, here's one for you. Oh, one of our favorite people, AOC. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, has tested positive for the coronavirus, according to a statement from her office on Sunday night. How about that? Did you see the videos of her down in Miami partying at the gay bar? And I say that because that's what it was. That's what the headlines were, that she was at a drag queen bar. I don't know why, but she was. Everywhere she went, because the paparazzi, I guess, was following her, they were, you know, showing her maskless. And yet back home where she's from, everybody's masking up, you know. All the protocols, vaccine passports, you know, where are you? Show us your papers. Show us your papers. I'll just say AOC decided to take her vacation in Florida. The scenes that we have seen are when she was at the drag queen bar, especially, and long hugs and hands, you know, shaking and no masks and, you know, the guys kissing her and thanking her for coming and what a joy she is to them. And the video went on and on. I thought, man, that one guy like hugged her and he wouldn't let go. And I'm thinking at some point she's probably creeped out by it, but she couldn't do a thing about it. All that to say, she goes home and she's tested positive. Huh, go figure. Well, Ron DeSantis also said in another clip that basically if he had a nickel for every politician who runs away from their draconian protocols to have freedom in his state, he'd be a rich man. And I believe he's right. But the politics of COVID are literally ongoing daily. I got a few other things that I'm going to share with you on this. Coming up top of the hour, by the way, we're going to have State Senator Arthur Orr. We're going to switch gears, move to the legislative session that the Alabama State Legislature is about to go into. We'll talk about that with Arthur Orr. They got some big doings about how they're going to spend money. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. When I get back, I'll finish up this segment on the Triple Dipper. Three stories you got to know. This one's the politics of COVID. It's amazing to me what politicians will say and do. Science! Science! Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse of North Alabama, and this show, Right Side Radio, because of all of you Right Side ruffians, you great listeners out there, this is the biggest show in the afternoons across the northern part of our state, and we appreciate you. I've got a little sign. It stays up here right above me where I'm sitting here in the most studious of studios. It says it's an honor to have this platform, and it absolutely is, absolutely is. Hey, listen, I got to tell you about ZLA Solutions. You know, one of our team members, ZLA Solutions, is one of the best out there at getting people back to work. They're good at what they do. And ZLA Solutions, they like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. And what they mean by that is they will find all the people it takes for you to run your place, all right? Your place of employment, you might be short on people. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, all of it. They'll get you a workforce. I'm serious. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. If you're an individual just looking for a job, just know this. You can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. And they have jobs posted right now all over North Alabama. They are so worth checking out. Literally, as an employer or an employee, ZLAUSA.com for ZLA Solutions. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to just kind of wrap up this segment a little bit about the politics of COVID. I've got more material than I've got time, to be honest with you, because there's so much politics involved with COVID now. Here's one from the Epoch Times, dated 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Biden administration cuts Florida's weekly monoclonal shipment in half. And the article does not give any justification for it, except that the Department of Health, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, is appearing to decide for itself where they should go. It does feel very political when you take into account things like Ron DeSantis is the governor, and they're just striking back at him. The federal government slashed in half the number of doses of monoclonal antibodies therapy shipped to Florida from 30,000 to 15,000 this week, according to Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis said the 15,000 received would be immediately utilized to support new monoclonal antibody sites, but he said the federal government's decision to restrict that supply. He said that literally it is hurting the ability to treat and to save countless lives, he said. The Epoch Times reported on January 3rd that the U.S. Health and Human Services Administration had initially relaxed its policies on limiting the monoclonal antibodies, but then suddenly Florida sees half the usual allotment. Why there has to be an allotment, I don't know. Staying with politics of COVID. Now, you know, it's not very often that I've been agreeing with President Biden, but I did agree with him in a speech he gave, a week or so ago, in which he just pleaded for schools to stay open. Well, I'm sure you all are hearing about Chicago, all right? Chicago public schools are closed. Fox Business is reporting as of January 8th, which is 2 days ago. Chicago public schools closed despite receiving nearly $2.8 billion in federal COVID funding. Can you imagine? One school system gets almost $2.8 billion. Now, they are the biggest school system, I believe, in the nation. I think they're bigger than New York. Chicago public schools were projected to get It's actually $2.79, to be exact, $1 billion in federal coronavirus relief funds from what is known as the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund. It was part of the whole CARES Act. And they allegedly got it. And in January of 2021, then Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos under the Trump administration urged the states to use it in part to safely reopen the schools. And then a March 2021 fact sheet from the Department of Education also states that local education agencies should use a portion of those funds to develop policies and practices relating to keeping schools open. So $2.8 billion, but the Chicago Teachers Union, the CTU, is demanding that more be done first, even though any number of things have happened, like buying laptops, $26 million on safety equipment, $30 million on new technology, masks, air purifiers. I mean, for the love of God, what do they want here? They don't say what they want. They want more. They want more. They want to go to remote learning. The politics of COVID. You've got literally at this point now, the liberals are eating themselves. So it's the Biden administration now at war with the teachers union. Go figure that. Last thing I'll point out to you here as we wind down this segment. Coming up pretty soon, I've got State Senator Arthur Orr calling in. But this is in California. This is going to, I mean, if it weren't so ridiculous, it would almost make you laugh. California, headline says, California went from mandating vaccines to forcing COVID-positive healthcare employees to work. I told you last week, did you remember that, about New Hampshire? The state of New Hampshire recently said, if you're COVID-positive but you're a healthcare worker, we need you back at work anyway. And so the state policy is now that. You can be COVID-positive, but if there's a shortage of staff, I don't know, maybe because they fired all the unvaccinated staff, you can go back to work. Well, now California is saying the California Department of Public Health, here you go, has issued new guidance allowing hospitals and health networks to force COVID, to force COVID-positive healthcare workers to continue working if they are asymptomatic. Are you seeing, where is the congruency? There is zero level of equilibrium in the politics of COVID. Florida, the schools are open and life is good, and AOC wants to go vacation there. New York, they need a passport to go into a restaurant. The Chicago Teachers Union says $2.8 billion is not enough for them to stay open. And California says, look, you can test positive, but if you're asymptomatic, we're forcing you back to work. How does that happen? It only happens when liberals control the politics of COVID. That's where it happens. I'm just telling you. All right, folks. Ending that segment, I'm moving to a phone call coming up with State Senator Arthur Orr. Going to talk about our Alabama State Legislature, of which I used to be a part. Going into session starting tomorrow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Right back.